We're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah, and we've been dissecting this Mishnah. Initially, we learned Ein Bur Yirei Chet, someone who has no basic
fear of sin.
No, that's he has no basic etiquette. He cannot be God fearing. Velo Am Aretz Chassid, and one who's not learned cannot be pious. Velo Abayshan Lamed, that's what we learned last week, that someone who's too embarrassed will never learn anything because he'll always be scared that people will laugh at him, so he's scared to admit what he doesn't know, he's scared to ask questions, and so you can't learn that way. You can't be embarrassed. In this, you have to come forward and say, I didn't understand that, I don't know, and ask. Velo HaKafdan Milamed. And now we're up to the next point. You guys are all going to be educators, you're going to be parents. You have different roles as educators. So the next rule is, someone who is a kapdan, he gets angry and he sticks to his way of things, he can't teach. En tzarich l'rav sheyeh kasan. A teacher, it's not necessary for him to be an angry person. Ve'lo ruchok katzar, nor an impatient person. Ach rochav lev, but rather the way a teacher has to be is someone who's very accepting, umeshiv lechol adam bechol davar sheishalu, and someone who will give an answer to any person regardless of what they ask. Now these are things that these are habits we have to develop. Again, like everything in Pirkei Avot, these are areas where we can perfect ourselves. Very often we judge people off the bat. I once had someone come to me with this wise Alex smirk and ask me a question. And he doesn't stop smirking, and it keeps on seeming like he's saying a joke, something's, I don't know what the joke is, why he's smiling nonstop, but I force myself to answer calmly and patiently. And then he asks another question and a third question, and he keeps on having this weird smile on his face, like, I'm wondering, is he recording me? What's the joke here? Only later did I know that he broke his jaw and he couldn't change his face. He always looked like he had this weird smile on his face. Okay, now, I'm standing there wondering. I never met this guy, and he's asking me some questions which can be understood in more than one way. Okay, so there are many scenarios where lo akavdan milamed. Chazal told us you have to be accepting, you have to be patient, and that's how you teach. Okay, I'll tell you a phenomenal story. Father comes home and his wife is ash. Her face is white as alabaster. She says to him, you won't believe what I found. He asks her, what happened? She says, I can't tell you. You have to see for yourself, but sit down. He's sitting down. She brings him their son's siddur, their 10-year-old son. He opens the siddur, and he starts crying. He looks at the siddur, and he sees the first place it says God's name. There are all kinds of doodles over God's name. And the second place, and throughout the siddur, everything the kid davens, he sees the kid doodled over every time God's name appears in the siddur. So he doesn't know what to do with himself. Like, what did we do? Why did the kid do that? What's wrong? We didn't even know something was wrong. He seemed like he was so happy in yeshiva and so happy davening. Everything seemed fine. What was the problem? So what do they do? They don't know what to do. So they wait till the kid comes home and they try to be like very calm and easygoing. And the mother calls over the kid and he says, you know, Mati, I noticed that your sitter has these little doodles in it. What's the deal with that? So he gets all defensive and he says, but it's my sitter. And she says, yeah, but why'd you do the doodles? So he said, it's personal. And she said, look, you don't want to tell me, don't tell me, but I would be happy to understand. So he says, okay, I'll tell you, but it's a secret. My friends have a sitter that puts a highlight every time God's name comes in so that you don't just read it. You stop and you realize you're saying God's name. My sitter doesn't have a highlight. So I wanted to do something so that I'll always notice when I'm about to say God's name. I shouldn't just read it. I should stop and think about what I'm saying. So I made a mark every time God's name shows up in the sitter. Now, what would have happened had the parents gone off the handle, right? The kid did something beautiful. So he did it his way. And there are many instances like that. Your parents are often quick to judge. And it's our job as an educator is to be accepting and to listen. Yeah, sometimes you have to judge. Sometimes you have to take a stance. But the first rule is, lo akaptan milamed. If a person's going to be strict, if a person's going to be stern, teach he won't teach. Fear he'll instill, but you can't teach that way. A student has to feel like the teacher is accepting. And a student has to feel comfortable asking. You guys are going to end up being parents, sometimes a parent finds that he can't teach his own kids. I have a friend who's a top scientist, and he told me that back in Russia, his father was the top educator in science. And his father always said, I could teach everyone but my own kids. Why? Because he says, when it's my own kids, I don't have patience for them to be stupid. How come you didn't get this yet? How come you don't understand it? He'd go crazy. You know, when it's someone else's kid, he didn't care, so you don't understand. I'll explain it again. He was most patient, but when it came to his own kids, he couldn't have that patience. So sometimes a person sees that that's his weakness. So then you say, okay, I'll deal with them in other areas. Maybe I'll get them a tutor for what they're doing in yeshiva, and in areas where I could be calm and patient and happy with them, so I'll learn that with them. But as an educator, lo akapdan milamed, it's a very harsh sentence, the Mishnah says. Someone who is too stern, someone who is always down to the T, tell me exactly what the answer is, he won't teach. Lo akapdan milamed, blanket statement. Someone who is strict, who gets angry, will not teach. That's the wording of the Mishnah. Gam ki itkashu mi leavin tshuvato, yachzira aleihem, even when the students have difficulty understanding his answer, he will explain it to them again, ad sheyodu lomko shel davar, till they understand it to the depths. So part of a teacher's job is to go over it again, explain it from another angle, try a third time, a fourth time, see how you can explain it. Now, I'll just tell you, as an educator, I've had times where I explain something over and over and over again, and I reached a point where I told the person, look, there's something wrong with me, because I can't find a way to explain it that you'll understand. So at this point, I've exhausted all options. You want, I'll start repeating myself, and I'll say the same thing again. But maybe, go to someone else, and they'll explain it to you better. And what I found, from elementary school, through high school, through yeshiva, through Machon Meir, that there are times where we don't catch what the other party's missing. We, as educators, don't understand why the other person isn't understanding. And if they go to someone else, sometimes in one sentence, that person can explain what you didn't succeed in explaining for a half hour. I've seen this many times. So, both as students and as educators, we have to know this rule. You can't get angry. You have to be willing to repeat yourself. You have to be willing to explain it in another way, in another way, in another way. And maybe you reach a point where you say, okay, I'm not getting my point across, so maybe I need someone else to get this point across. Maybe I'm not good at explaining this point, so someone else will have to explain it. But the cardinal rule the Mishnah is teaching us is you can't be an angry person. A student has to be comfortable. Ve'lo kol amarbe v'schora machkim. Achar she'osek b'schorato kol hayom v'oseh mimena keva u'mitorato haray lo yitrakem l'olam. The Mishnah says, he who does a lot of business won't wisen up. So Rabbeinu Yonah explains, when one is doing business all day, and that's his focus of his life, and then the Torah's, by the way, I'll get in 2 minutes here and 2 minutes there. He says, you're smart, you won't become from that. You can't think that by spending a few minutes here and there, you'll get smart. You got to focus on Torah. Torah needs time. It can't be something that's done on the fly. Oh, for sure you should be learning on the fly as well. But that's a side thing. The focus, the way to grow in Torah is to make it something serious and that's focused on. So that's the next part of the Mishnah. Should we do the final paragraph and finish the Mishnah?
Yes.
Guys, one more paragraph? Okay. Uvimkom she'en anashim hishtadel yot ish. Where there are no men, hishtadel. We're going to have to see how he explains the word hishtadel. To be a man. Okay. Pirshu harishonim zal. Bimkom she'en anashim ne'ezracha b'mitzvot v'liyasercha. If you're in a place where no one's going to help you do mitzvos, and no one's going to tell you, hey buddy, shape up. So that can be the case with many guys. You end up in the army, you're the frum guy in the battalion. You end up in a university, you're the only frum guy on campus. So there you got to take care of yourself. When you're in a place that there's no one bigger than you, so then you have to remember your responsibility is to take care of yourself and to keep reminding oneself, am I doing what's right in the eyes of God? Now that's very hard. Very hard. One of the things we recommend is choose a university where you have a Jewish presence. Where you're going to serve in the army, you got to have a Jewish presence. It's very important. But people do find themselves in a place where there is no one else. It's very tempting when you're in a carpool and everyone's talking Lashon Hara. You're in a shul and everyone's talking. There's a machlokas brewing. There's a fight brewing. And people are talking which sides they're going to take. It's tempting to join. We have situations in life where ein anashim, no one around us is standing up to do what's right. And it's very tempting in those times to go along with the crowd. Comes the Mishnah and says, Hishtadel liyot ish, work hard at being a man. These are the moments that define us in life. It helps to think of it that way. It helps to stop and think, this is what's going to define if I am or I'm not. I've often thought about how Avraham Avinu was willing to stand up to the test and say, throw me in the furnace, I'm not bowing to that idol. And it really bothered me for many years because I kept asking myself, if I were in that scenario, what would I say? And I had to say, I would have said, for many years of my life, I would have said, what's the big deal to bow? I have so much to accomplish in life. If I just do this, I've done it, okay, so I bowed, big deal. What happened to the world? Yeah.
Was this chronologically, was this before or after Hashem revealed himself?
Before. Long before. So. I'm saying, so he had a belief, and he had logically figured it out, and he was preaching it, and now the king is telling him, either bow or you're burning to death. And he's in shackles, and he's there, he's going to burn. So what's the logic in not bowing? Now I'm going to make it a little bit harsher. Throughout our history, Jews were told, bow or die. Now this happened throughout our history. I'll tell you something very interesting. You know why we have Hadassah Medical Center here in Jerusalem? Because for the first century, meaning before 1912, throughout the 1800s, the Christians set up hospitals here. And they would only take care of a woman giving birth if she would let them baptize the child. Check it out.
The Hadassah Hospital.
Hadassah Hospital was created to counter that. Henrietta Saltz went around the United States and said, if you guys help me, the Jews will have a hospital, women will be able to give birth, their children won't be baptized. They had to sell their soul, or their baby's soul.
They had babies at home, I guess, right?
They had babies at home. You had a high mortality rate. And it was a huge temptation, but the rabbis of the time stood up. Rav Kook Zatzal said, a person should rather die than buy from their pharmacy. A person has to be willing to give up their lives. He said this is part of paganism. Just as you can't bow to an idol, you have to be willing to give up your life and not bow to an idol. Rav Kook said, here in Jerusalem, a person has to go without that hospital rather than go into the missionary hospital. Now, they don't like telling us that story, right? But you guys could go online and research it. It just blows your mind. You ask yourself, what would I do? What would I say? Wouldn't I just say, what's the big deal? So they dunked him in a bathwater? What do I care? Right? Isn't it so easy to rationalize and say, is it such a big deal? Comes the Torah and says, yes, it is. And you have to stand up for your values. And you have to be willing to stand up to that degree where when it becomes a question of life and death. And again, for many years, I pondered this. It was very hard for me to swallow. And then as life went on, I started seeing that there is zero value to life. We become animals if we don't stand up to it. I've often quoted the story of the guy in Africa, right? You guys remember the story? It made a lot of the headlines. Where in the tribal wars, one of the things they do to humiliate people is they force them to rape one another's relatives, and etc. So they came into a tribe in Africa, and they took one man and they told him he has to rape his sister. And this is in front of the whole tribe, everyone's sitting there. And he said, no. Now they had just killed a lot of people. They picked up a hatchet and they said, if you don't rape your sister, we're going to cut your head off. And he said, okay. And then they did. They cut his head off. And this was reported throughout the media, and it blew my mind. I said to myself, this guy made such an awesome Kiddush Hashem. You know, the man, I don't know how to say it. You know, the fact that all the media reported this, that shows something amazing. The guy says, you know, he has all the excuses in the world. And he says, no, I'm not interested in excuses. There are points where you can't push me. I'm not making that move. I'm just saying, coming back to Mekom Shein Anashim, it's very easy to give excuses when no one else is living up to the ethics, the ideals. That's where we have to realize this is what's going to define, am I a man, am I not a man? And if we can view it that way, then we can very often have the strength to stand up to the test and be an Ish. Avraham Avinu did it when God hadn't yet spoken to him. Yeah?
The thing that jumps out at me, what you're saying is, that's very noble and defines a person when you're very clear on what your values are, because many people died for communism, for the Confederacy, good people, it just wasn't the right cause to die from. So your questions, I think, are, you know, how do you know, like, let's say the, it's not the nice word, but Moranos, Conversos, how do you know the ones who were faking it but went along? Which ones did the right thing and have descendants now who are Jewish, and which ones did the wrong things? And you know, you can't decide on the spot with no knowledge. You have to know beforehand.
That's what you have to learn, yeah. Right? I've often thought that one of the classes we must have is these laws. Where must a Jew give up his life? Because, like you're saying, God forbid, when that comes up, you have to know the answer. Right.
What did they say? Is it Rambam who forgave the people, or you know, the rabbis forgave the people who gave up their lives, did give up their lives, rather than give in to the Catholic Church?
So that's the mitzvah. That's what a person's supposed to do.
The rabbis later on forgave the guys who gave up their lives to
Who converted?
Yeah. They forgave them.
Another question. We learned that in the Rambam Igeret Teiman, how you judge a person who did not stand up to the test. I'm just saying, when you have that test, one of the keys is to realize that this is a defining moment. Am I a human? Am I a man of God? Or am I an animal? And when you can focus and realize that that's the question at hand, that this is going to define my whole life, and there are principles that if I give up on them, then everything I've done is worthless, and anything I'm going to do is worthless, because I've redefined myself as an animal. It's all a question of survival. If you can see that, then you could stand up to the moment. I'm just saying, it took me years to come to that conclusion. For years I pondered, why? Because it's...
Abraham Avinu had that clarity.
Right.
But if a lesser person would have been in that situation, they would not necessarily, I don't think, have been committing something when you're not sure. And, you know, I don't know what was going on in his head, but there are things you have to be willing to die for and live for, and, you know, that shows a mature person. But there are many areas where we don't know yet. We pray, right? Please don't test us in these ways that we're not ready for.
Is there also agreed? A side thing with the Proverbs, you know, with the time to stand, time to...
Right? We don't say for every mitzvah a person should give up their life, right? Mm. Agreed? Just a second, David's been waiting. Yeah.
I was trying to find this guy, you said in Africa, who refused to rape his sister. I mean, this is crazy, man. I just never heard it before. I was trying to find the article, man. I was wanting to get a more detailed story, but I can't seem to pull it up, you know, so... Do you have any clues, or did you have a link before or anything like that?
No.
Wow.
Right.
I just can't believe I've never heard this before. I've always tried to hear it. Maybe in America it wasn't like heavily reported because that's
right.
Just them.
Right. I don't know. Room is available. Yes.
So, can be Kiddush Hashem from a pagan?
What do you mean?
A pagan.
The guy from Africa wasn't Jew and wasn't, for sure, in Africa they worshiped
I think that when the world sees a person willing to give up his life for a certain basic ethic, it elevates the whole world. There's a recognition there is a God, there is a moral standard that we shouldn't go beneath it. Now you'll ask me, was the guy a pagan or a monotheist, etc.? I have no idea. I know he did one action that made it to the media, and that action, in its own merit, was an action which sanctified Hashem's name. The fact that a person says, I am not an animal. There is a God, and I'm supposed to live up to the ethics He gave me.
And the second, if I think that in life when you meet a big test, you cannot need that if you don't have a small principle in your life.
Agreed.
If you just jump when you are pressured to lie, to talk bad about, to promote talking about your colleague, I think that next time cannot.
I agree. I want to take what you said a step further.